Dr. William Luther Pierce, Get Ready for War, 1996.
Hello. Mr. Clinton has chosen the members of his government who will have charge of America's national security during his second term. They are Madeleine Albright as Secretary of State, William Cohen as Secretary of Defense, Samuel Berger as Chairman of the National Security Council, and Richard Holbrooke as Ambassador to the United Nations. That is a lineup which should give nightmares to every American patriot, and also to everyone who would like to avoid another war for a while. Why do I think that these four Clinton appointees are likely to get us into a war during the next 4 years? I'll tell you. In the first place, all four of them are Jews. Don't let the Gentile names Albright and Holbrooke fool you. These two appointees are just as Jewish as Cohen and Berger are. Jews make up 2.5% of the U.S. population and 100% of Mr. Clinton's national security team. That's quite a striking contrast, isn't it? Especially for a president who has told us often that he wants his administration to look like America, to be a reflection of America. I think what he meant is that he wants his administration to be a reflection of the behind-the-scenes power structure in America. It is the most Jewish administration our country has ever had, by far. And let us consider, in the second place, Mr. Clinton's reason for appointing these Jews to the top national security positions. Why didn't he appoint his friends and cronies to these positions instead? Why not appoint the drug dealers and pimps and money launderers he used to hang out with in Arkansas? He can't be reelected president for a third term. He doesn't need the support of the Jews in their mass media any longer. Or does he? Or does he? You bet he does. Bill and Hillary Clinton are in a heap of trouble, and the heap is getting deeper by the week. Their Arkansas buddies are being packed off to prison one by one, and the trail is getting closer and closer to the Clintons. And I'm not the only American who would like to see Bill and Hillary led out of the White House in handcuffs and leg irons. The Republicans would love to get even for what the Democrats did to Richard Nixon 23 years ago. They would love to inflict as much damage as they can on Clinton and his party because they hope to fill any resulting power vacuum. But the amount of damage inflicted on Clinton depends much more on the controlled media than it does on the Republicans. Everything that happens in Washington is orchestrated by the men who control the mass media. The politicians all dance to the media's tune. They know that the way they are treated by the media determines whether or not they will be reelected. Everything the politicians do and say is done and said with the media in mind. The media provide the link between the politicians and the voters. Mr. Clinton understands that as well as anyone else. And Mr. Clinton knows exactly who controls the media. He knows that whether or not he goes to prison depends more than anything else on how useful he remains to the Jews. It was the enormous publicity given to the Watergate burglary by the controlled media 23 years ago, which forced President Richard Nixon from office. The intense media focus on this one subject, day after day, for months, until it finally sank into the consciousness of Joe and Jill Sixpack. If the media had given Watergate the sort of cursory, ho-hum coverage they gave to the Paula Jones case recently, Nixon would have been able to finish his second term in office. And on the other hand, if the media had focused on the Paula Jones scandal the way they focused on Watergate, Clinton would not have been reelected in November. You remember Paula Jones, don't you? She's the Arkansas State employee that Clinton dropped his trousers in front of and tried to pressure into having sex with him when he was the governor of Arkansas. Her sexual harassment lawsuit against him will be coming to trial soon. Bill Clinton has a lot more problems than the Paula Jones lawsuit to worry about, though. He is facing the likelihood of felony indictments on several charges during the next year or two, as the investigations into various of his criminal activities continue. In each case, the attitude of the media bosses will be of critical importance to him. If the media give any case against him the Watergate treatment, with lots of negative coverage day after day, that will generate a feeding frenzy among the Republicans, and they will be relentless in pushing for his prosecution. On the other hand, if the media ignore the investigations and scandals, that will take most of the steam out of them and discourage the Republicans from pursuing them. The Jews, in other words, have Mr. Clinton exactly where they want him. He dare not disobey them. He must do everything they tell him in the way of appointments and otherwise, which is why Madeleine Albright, William Cohen, Samuel Berger, and Richard Holbrooke are where they are today. The third thing to consider is the character and personality of these Jewish appointees. They are not just bureaucrats who happen, incidentally, to be Jews. They are a ruthless crew who know exactly where their loyalties lie. When the Jewish media were trying to force Richard Nixon out of office, for example, William Cohen was the first Republican in the Congress to abandon his party and join the media campaign against Nixon. Madeleine Albright is an even better example of Jewish ruthlessness and Jewish loyalty to her fellow Jews. I remember seeing her interviewed on the CBS program 60 Minutes last May. The program was exploring the suffering of the Iraqi people under the total embargo placed on Iraq at the insistence of the United States, which means at the insistence of the Jews, who want to punish the Iraqi people for being a threat to Israel's domination of the Middle East. 60 Minutes took us on a tour of an Iraqi hospital where children were dying by the dozens because there was no medicine to treat them. The interviewer, Leslie Stahl, pointed out to Albright that 500,000, half a million, Iraqi children are reported to have died as a result of the embargo. And Stahl herself was obviously distressed by the plight of the Iraqi people and by all of those Iraqi children who had died as a result of this Jewish policy intended to cripple Iraq. I could see the distress on her face and hear it in her voice when she asked Albright, "Is the price worth it?" And I'll always remember Albright's harsh, arrogant, and unapologetic answer. Without hesitation, almost with a sneer, she answered, "We think the price is worth it." In other words, certainly it's worth having 500,000 Iraqi children die in misery in order to safeguard Israel's position. After all, they're only Gentiles. They're only Goyim. They're not Jews, so who cares? What a vicious, hard-hearted Jewess. And you know, it was Madeleine Albright who, while she was Mr. Clinton's ambassador to the United Nations during his first term, was continually urging that the United States use its armed forces for military intervention around the world, wherever some country needed to be made politically correct. And this Jewess will be in charge of the foreign policy of the United States for the next 4 years. That is really horrifying. Now, these considerations I've just mentioned are not sufficiently persuasive by themselves for me to be convinced that our country will be led deliberately into another war. That is, I'm not predicting a war just because we have the amazing coincidence that Mr. Clinton chose Jews for all the key positions in his national security team, or because he desperately needs to do something, anything, to head off the investigators who are closing in on him, or because the Jews he appointed happen to be an especially bloodthirsty bunch. The really frightening thing about these coincidences is that they just happen to have occurred at the precise moment in history when the Jews need another war, when it is essential for the Jews to get the United States involved in another major war. They need to get us involved in a war for two reasons. The first reason is that, after nearly 50 years of turmoil, bloodshed, and minor wars in the Middle East, they still haven't been able to build a viable country for themselves on the land they stole from the Palestinians. Their neighbors hate them just as strongly as ever, and their neighbors are becoming more sophisticated as time goes on. Without the billions of dollars in military and economic aid the Jews extort from the United States every year, they could not maintain their military superiority over the rest of the Middle East. If U.S. aid to Israel is ever cut off, Israel will be finished in short order. Furthermore, the growth of Islamic fundamentalism is a real threat to the Israelis. If Islamic fundamentalists gain power in Egypt or Saudi Arabia, then the rest of the Arab world is likely to go the same way soon. And the Islamic fundamentalists are people who do not compromise with what they view as fundamental evil. They are determined to free the Middle East from Jewish domination, and they are growing in strength every year. The Jews need a major Middle Eastern war to crush their enemies decisively and to make it impossible for them to wage war against Israel. Now, with Bill Clinton in office and with Clinton surrounded by Jews, is the time to strike. If they do it now, they can use America as their weapon, and it will be Americans rather than Israelis taking all the casualties. If they don't do it in the next 4 years, however, they may never have another chance. The second reason the Jews need a war is to put down the growing dissent against them and their policies in the United States. The natives are becoming restless and have to be put down. Have you been on the Internet recently? The Internet is buzzing with questions the Jews don't want asked, with complaints the Jews don't want heard, with facts the Jews don't want you to know. The Internet is a communications medium unlike any of the others we are accustomed to, such as radio, television, newspapers, and so on, in that the amount of money a communicator has is irrelevant. They can rigidly control the ideas and information that the public has access to through television because no dissenter has enough money to buy his own television station. To a lesser extent, the same thing applies to radio, newspapers, and the other information media. This program, American Distant Voices, is on radio, of course, but there are only a few stations from which we can buy time. The rest are afraid to carry our program because of the threat of Jewish boycotts. Most Americans aren't able to listen to American distant voices unless they have a good shortwave receiver or a satellite system. That is, they weren't able to listen to American distant voices broadcasts until we began making them accessible through our two internet websites. Now, if you are able to connect to the internet, and if you have an audio card in your computer, you can hear this and other American distant voices broadcasts just by going to either of our two websites, which are www.natvan.com and www.natall.com. That's www.natvan and www.natall. And you can listen to us through your computer anywhere in the world at any time of the day or night. Of course, NBC and ABC and CBS also have their websites, but we are on an equal footing with them. You can find our sites just as easily as you can find theirs, and you can read or listen to what we have to say just as easily as you can to them. Our voice is just as loud as theirs. Now, that's true only on the Internet. They can control the flow of ideas and information to you through television, but they can't control the Internet, and it's driving them crazy. All of the big Jewish pressure groups, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, the Southern Poverty Law Center, they're all screaming about the need to stifle politically incorrect ideas and inconvenient facts on the Internet. But they're having a hard time convincing the American people. They've tried to establish censorship of the Internet with new laws, but so far it hasn't worked. And so they've come forward with all sorts of new proposals for Jewish control of the Internet. For example, they have developed Internet software, which to a certain extent can filter out politically incorrect information, that is, politically incorrect information sources. And they want to make the use of this software mandatory. If they have their way, you won't be able to buy a computer without this politically correct software already in it. If that sounds like a pretty desperate proposal, believe me, it is. They know that they cannot maintain their control over the minds of Americans unless they can control the flow of information and ideas. And if they lose their control over what Americans think, they eventually will lose their political power as well. And it's not just the Internet which is a problem for them in this regard. The American people as a whole, even Joe and Jill's six-pack, are becoming disillusioned and unhappy. Only 23% of the electorate voted for Bill Clinton in November. More than half the electorate didn't bother to vote at all. The media have downplayed these facts, but the Jews are concerned about them. The people are being kept in line at the moment because there are still lots of shiny new things for them to buy. But more and more Americans are beginning to look beyond their immediate material comfort and to worry about the long-term moral slide of their country. If the economy slips badly, there will be hell to pay. More and more people will listen to the dissidents. A big problem for the Jews is how to silence the dissidents now, how to stifle the people who are asking inconvenient questions and thinking dangerous thoughts before these thoughts spread to other people. They've tried to do it with legislation, but the country isn't yet in a mood to be told what it can think. What the Jews need is a nice big war. Then they can crack down on the dissidents. Then they can call us subversives. Then they can call us unpatriotic, because we will be against their war. Then the government can pass laws against us, and Joe and Jill Sixpack will go along with it. Does that still sound pretty far-fetched? I guess it does to many of you who haven't been keeping up with what the Jews have been doing and saying during the last few years. If you're a lawyer, though, you will know that the Jews have been sending up trial balloons for years, arguing that the First Amendment needs to be rewritten so that the only speech which is protected is politically correct speech. And if you're an Internet person who is knowledgeable about the big debate on Internet censorship, you know how hard the big Jewish pressure groups are pushing for censorship. And if you're just a person who pays attention to what other people are thinking and feeling, you know that the discontent about the course America is on has reached an all-time high. People are worried. People are heartsick. People are asking questions they were afraid to ask a few years ago. The Jews need to squelch this incipient revolution before it grows. They have a window of opportunity during the next 4 years. After Bill Clinton leaves office, anything can happen. There undoubtedly will be a wave of popular revulsion against him and a demand for substantial change. The Jews may never again have such a pliant tool in the White House. They may never again have the power over the U.S. government that they have now. That's why the alarm bells went off in my mind when Mr. Clinton announced who would be in charge of America's national security during the next 4 years. That's why I am convinced that there will be a strong effort to involve America in another major war during the next 4 years. This effort will be disguised, of course. It will be cloaked in deceit, as such efforts always are. While the warmongers are scheming for war, they will tell us how much they want peace. They're good at that sort of thing. They've had a lot of practice. But they will be scheming for war, believe me, no matter what they say. And when that war comes, remember what I've told you today. Thanks for listening.